This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Are we good? Are we ready to light this candle? Let's do it. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. It's the Dawn Stenland Show. Now, I'm not Dawn. Dawn's kind enough to let me drive the boat here. Hopefully, we don't go full Exxon Valdez, full Titanic, and crash this beautiful luxury liner that Dawn has established here. My name is Jason Hammer. I'm a radio host in Indianapolis. And before we get moving with the biggest stories of the day, and we're going to get there, Eagles clinching the division, home playoff game, a brawl, which always brings everybody together. We'll get to all of that. But yes, my real last name is Hammer. And I know what you're thinking. It sounds like one of those stupid radio names that like every rock DJ has across the country. It doesn't matter what city you live in America, whether it's Philadelphia, whether it's Indianapolis, whether it's Tacoma. There's probably a rock station in your city, and I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts there's a guy named Hunter or Deuce or Hammer or something like that. But I've got the driver's license to back it up. Last name really is Hammer. So when you're born with that last name, your options are pretty limited. Pro wrestler, adult film star, or radio host. I think you can clearly tell which path that I chose. So thank you so much for allowing me. Going to have some fun. Going to have a little fun here the next couple of hours. Man, it's the holiday season. You can look at things in a negative way, or you could crack open a couple beers before 10:30, have people judge you, and just raise up a glass and smile. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be the day drinkers having a good time. So let's get you up to date on the biggest stories of the weekend. Again, we'll get to the Eagles. I'll give you my outsider's perspective. I'm a former sports director. But more importantly, I'm a gambling degenerate. So I can tell you, an outsider's perspective, what I think about the Eagles and what that fight meant. I'm telling you, that was huge. But more Epstein files dropping, more pictures. So the million-dollar question, do you care about the pictures? Are we getting anything of substance out of these Epstein files? Because I'm kind of at a point now where unless you've got proof of anybody having relations with a child, I don't care. I don't care. I know there's a lot of pictures of Bill Clinton. He's shirtless. He's in a hot tub. He's getting rub downs. All right, fine. Do you have proof that he's having relations with a kid? Oh, did you see Mick Jagger was down there having dinner with Epstein? Was he having sex with kids? But look at all these people. I don't care. I do not care at this point because we have survivors. We've got victims. And there's a lot of documentation. I want arrests. I do not care who's having dinner. I don't care who's at the island because pictures can be very misleading. I'm willing to bet right now, somebody, whether you're in your car, whether you're at work, you've probably got a photo, or at least a friend does, of somebody that's been to jail. It doesn't mean that you did the same things. And don't get it twisted. I'm not trying to back myself into a corner to defend Bill Clinton, defend Donald Trump, defend Mick Jagger. I'm just saying anybody can have a photo that's out there. I went to Aruba a number of years ago with my wife. And this is back when OJ was still in his looking for the real killers phase. And the amount of hot white women lined up to take a picture with OJ Simpson outside of the casino resort in Aruba would have blown your mind. There are tons of just smoking hot, at least they were at the time, white women that have photos of themselves with OJ at Aruba. Now, this does not mean that those white women cut the throats off of people. OJ did, allegedly. But those folks didn't. So that's why I'm not into the picture thing. The picture thing doesn't do it for me. We know there are victims. We know there are survivors. But I want names of people doing the actual deeds. And if that makes me the bad guy, I'm sorry. But to quote Scarface, say hello to the bad guy. I don't care who had dinner. I don't care who went dancing. I don't care who flew in. There are people in this country that know exactly what happened. And for some reason, we don't have it. We do not have that information. And it's disappointing. And I don't care if you're a Republican. Don't care if you're a Democrat. If you were doing that to a child, you deserve the worst of the worst. I'm a big proponent of the death penalty. Hell, I want to make it a pay-per-view event. I want to start an all death penalty channel and execute these people, and maybe we can give them money for the pay-per-view to some of the survivors. Again, I'm kind of a romantic. I'd be down with that. But all of these picture dumps to me are worthless. Because unless you got a photo of somebody doing the hibbity-dibbity with a minor, nobody cares. Nobody cares. But if anything, this gives us a chance to relive one of the great pranks of all time. When that scumbag Jeffrey Epstein's name is in the news, it gives us a chance to relive one of the great pranks of all time. I believe this was at a Walmart, and I can't remember the state, but somebody went to the customer service department. And they were looking for somebody that had gotten separated from their party. The name was Clinton Kildepstein.
Good afternoon, Walmart customers. If I may have your attention, please. Will I miss your Clinton Kildepstein? Meet your party at the grocery entrance.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Clinton Kildepstein, please go to grocery entrance to meet with your party. Thank you.
I mean, she said it twice. She said it twice. Clinton Kildepstein. Oh, that's so good. That is so, so good. Again, I'm from Indianapolis, and I'm not going to lie, I'm a little jealous of the success that the Eagles have had the last couple of years. I grew up in the Peyton Manning era in Indianapolis, so I know what it's like to kind of get comfortable when you're having a run of success. And then you get spoiled just a little bit. Like, if you're not just the best of the best because the standard gets high, people feel like the wheels are falling off. And I get it. There was some drama. Maybe there still is. On this Eagles team, A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts. I'm sorry that they're not euchre partners like you guys want, but at the end of the day, you're going to have a home playoff game this year. And you went on national television and you punked. And that's what it was. It was a punking of a division rival on Saturday. And I thought that was great. But the best part of that game was the brawl. So the Eagles go for two. All right, I'm not even mad at that. It wasn't like they were up by 40. Eagles go for two. And the artist formerly known as the Redskins get their feelings hurt. And their coach, Mr. Johnny Tough Guy, wants to start throwing hands, running his mouth. Same thing with their players. But you know what I saw? I saw an Eagles team that despite all the drama, a little infighting, came together and fought back. And I'm telling you, anybody that's played ball at any level, like I capped out at the high school level, tried to walk on in college, There was no Rudy story for this guy. But anybody who's played ball at any level knows you can have some issues with your brothers. But if somebody else tries to start some crap, then it's on. And I saw that on Saturday. For all the infighting, for all the disputes, for all the controversy your Eagles have had. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I am Mr. Eagles fan. That's why I'm saying it's your Eagles. A brawl can bring people together. Think about this. I bet you've got a relative that you've probably bumped heads with before. Maybe you don't even like. But if somebody comes in the backyard barbecue, if somebody kicks down your front door at Christmas time and starts trying to beat the crap out of them or rob them or something, I bet you stick up for them. And I bet you bond afterwards. We've got friends like that too, right? Hell, I fought my best friend. Dude stood up for me in the wedding. We used to just throw haymakers at each other as kids. But if anybody tried to pick on each other, it was on. So for all of the AJ Brown diva talk, for all the Jalen Hurts stuff, when I saw the Eagles fight back, man, that was it. You can't sit around and take that stuff. You're representing Philly. Now, the image of Philly is you guys don't put up with crap. And I don't know if I've seen a moment of not putting up with crap from the Eagles all season like I saw on Saturday. And again, I had a little skin in the game. I bet on the Eagles. I've made a lot of money this year betting the under on AJ Brown totals. Not going to lie to you. But you guys won a physical division. You're going to have a home playoff game. Do not take that for granted, because my team in Indianapolis started the year at 8-3, and they're most likely going to miss the playoffs now. And it's questionable whether or not your starting quarterback is going to be back next year. So enjoy the ride, man. Enjoy the ride. I love seeing that fight, man. Fights bring people together, which brings us to great moments in bonding over fights history. If you've ever gone to a Waffle House, and I think you know where I'm going with this. If you've ever been to a Waffle House and see somebody trying to get squirrely, somebody trying to get sideways with a staff member at the Waffle House, do you know what happens? Everybody gets in. This was, I think, last week. Somebody was getting mouthy at a cook at a Waffle House. Next thing you know, he tries to fight the cook. And then it was on. Everybody in the Waffle House jumps in, and listen to the sound of this. Turn your radio up. This sounds like chaos, but it's the entire staff just beating the dog bleep out of the guy that started the fight. Lord. Yes, sir. You don't go into a Waffle House with that nonsense. No, no, no. You do not. You will be dealt with pound for pound in a restaurant battle royal. The Waffle House team, they're winning that thing. Now, Popeyes is pretty strong. I'm not going to lie. But give me Team Waffle House in a restaurant battle royal every single day of the week and twice on Sunday. Anybody play the Powerball? No winner, by the way. $1.6 billion at least on the line tonight. Now, I mentioned earlier, I'm kind of a gambling dude. I like to go to casinos. I like to do sports betting. Not a big lotto guy. I'm total bandwagon when it comes to some of these big-time lottery jackpots. But I bought some on Saturday. Surprise, surprise, did not win. $1.6 billion. So, what we're going to do is what every cheesy local TV morning show is doing around the country right now. We're going to have a segment called Great Moments and local TV reporters asking people about the lottery history.
Great moments and local TV reporters asking people about the lottery history.
Sir, can I ask you what your lucky numbers are?
I'm going to pick 14, 24, 2, 7, and 15.
Can I ask you, if you won all the money, what would you do with it?
Bunch of hookers and cocaine.
Oh, okay, that's not good.
Great
moments. There you go.
And local TV reporters
that's what you
asking
get.
People about the lottery history.
It's the same question, the same unoriginal microphone in the face. Find somebody that looks like the type of guy that's picking cigarette butts off the ground at the gas station. Ask him what he would do with the money. And he's probably going to tell you the answer you just heard. Great moments in local TV reporters asking people about the lottery history. All right. If you want to tweet at me, that's fine. At Jason Allen Hammer. That's my personal account. JasonAlanHammer. Let's have some fun, man. It's Christmas week. Let's turn the music up. Let's crack open a few day drinks and let's light this candle. You are listening to the Dawn Stensland Show, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're coming back.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand.
Man, this is fun. This is real fun. The Dawn Stensland Show, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Again, thank you so much to Dawn for turning the keys over to us this afternoon. I should say this, what is it, midday, I guess? That's the popular radio term, midday. Man, you guys are a good time. Again, I'm Jason Hammer. I'm just the fill-in nerd. I'm the substitute teacher. I know you guys are throwing spit wads at me, probably already going to the social media channel saying how much I suck. That's fine. Hop in line. First couple comments were probably my wife anyway. As we get close to the end of the year, heading into 2026 here, starting to get some interesting statistics, some data, if you will. Over the weekend, this piece of information dropped, and I thought this was really interesting. 2.5 million illegal immigrants have left the United States since President Trump took office. So just over a year, 2.5 million illegals gonzo. But that's not even the staggering number. To me, the real story here is that 1.9 million of them were self-deporting. Self-deporting. That's unreal. And if you look at what the DHS is reporting, so take those numbers for what you will. The DHS says that illegal border crossings are down 93% year over year. 93%. I'm old enough to remember when we would have members of the Biden administration come to the podium and say, there is no border crisis. What are you talking about? You're making stuff up. You might as well be talking about the boogeyman or Bigfoot. 93%. And it didn't take that long to fix. That's the thing. It wasn't like this was rocket science. It took a little manpower and wanting. That's the key part. Wanting to fix the border. And that's how you get it down 93%. But you also have to have the right people in place. Now, look, there are some folks that Trump has hitched his wagon to that have been a little underwhelming. I think Pam Bondi might fall into that category. Some would say Cash Patel falls into that category. Dan Bongino, who over the weekend, late last week, decided to pack it up and leave. We'll talk about that a little bit later on because I think that's really an underreported story. But Tom Homan and Marco Rubio, these are the two guys. These are the two guys that have been rock solid for Donald Trump. Like, I don't know who you would put as 1A and 1B. Maybe Rubio is 1A because he keeps getting job responsibilities. I feel like we're just a couple weeks away from Donald Trump naming Marco Rubio the new head coach of Michigan just because the job's open. But Tom Homan, that's the dude you want in a position where you don't want to hear any crap. And that's the border job. You're going to hear crap. You're going to have AOC in red lipstick and a white suit. And you're going to have pencil neck Adam Schiff. And you're going to have all these folks going down there calling you every sort of ist. But you need the kind of guy that would eat an apple, look at you, crop dust you with a fart and walk away. And that's what Tom Homan is. And that's why he's successful. That is why he's successful at what he does. And those are the two guys that I think have had the biggest impact in the first year and a half, if you will, of Donald Trump's presidency. Again, on Twitter, at Jason Allen Hammer, let me know who you got. Homan or Rubio? There really isn't a wrong answer here. This is like if you're having one of those all-time March Madness type brackets. One of them is the undefeated 76 Hoosiers. The other one is one of the John Wooden UCLA teams. There's no wrong answer here. Who you got? But again, as we head into the new year, we're going to start getting more and more of these types of reports. And you're also going to be aware of how much the national media has carried the water for the political left. People like Jake Tapper, and whatever they're calling MSNBC these days, is MS Now, whatever, telling you there was no problem at the border. All right, fine. Also, as we get close to a brand new year, I think a lot of people are wondering, how is Donald Trump going to spend his New Year's Eve? Well, lucky for you, I've got an answer.
Hello, this is President Donald Trump, and I'm having the greatest holiday season of all time. I really am. But I still haven't made up my mind what I'm going to be doing for New Year's. And then my son Barron came up with the fantastic idea where we could have Chris Christie dressed as the Baby New Year on the roof of Trump Tower. He'll be in a giant diaper lit up with all kinds of lights, and we'd lower him down on the window washer scaffolding right before midnight. The safety harness can hold a baby elephant, so he would be absolutely fine. And I love that idea, but I need to go bigger. So I've decided I'm going to do something truly spectacular.
Oh.
I'm going to have a team of scientists reanimate the cryogenically frozen corpse of Dick Clark for a few seconds at the stroke of midnight.
Let's go.
He's gonna pop right out of that crystal ball in Times Square. Zombie Dick. It's going to be unbelievable. And then we're going to have him climb out and eat the brains of Ryan Seacrest.
Okay.
You're not going to want to miss this. Believe me.
I'm here for that. I am 100% here for that. All right. Serious question here. What do we do with this story? So there's this woman who's been getting dragged on social media because she's been helping buy gifts for the holidays, like doing the angel tree thing. I think a lot of Salvation Armies and other charities support the angel tree program. But she's been getting dragged because she's been buying her items from the Dollar Tree. And people say getting generic colored pencils and things like that are insulting to the kids that you're trying to help with the charity. Here is this woman's response to the haters that she posted on Instagram. Take a listen to this.
For the past 24 hours, I have been relentlessly harassed for buying off-brand colored pencils for an angel tree gift. She wanted arts, crafts, skincare, and McDonald's. I purchased what I thought I myself would have enjoyed at her age, and the internet felt that I did not spend enough time or money and has certainly let me know. While admittedly feeling very discouraged and in the moments very angry at personal attacks on my character, I have to remember that the same people who impulsively are ripping me apart with no awareness of who I am, my intentions, or the recommended requirements of this donation program, which, by the way, the recommended spending rate was $50 to $80. I spent just about $65. Are the same people who crucified a perfect man.
Okay, so I don't necessarily want to go down a crucifixion of Jesus here. I don't really think it's that deep. But I think if she goes to the Dollar Tree and you buy markers and crayons and those types of things, and it might not be Crayola, I think that's okay. I feel like that's all right. And at the Dollar Tree, you go in there with $80 or $100, whatever you got, whatever you're willing to spend. That money is going to go a lot further and help other kids. See, I'm all right with this, especially when it comes to little things, toy cars, markers. People will complain about anything. They really will. This woman is trying to help the Angel Tree program, but because she's going to the Dollar Tree, she's getting crapped on. It's like the Seinfeld episode where Kramer was trying to take the muffin tops in, and he was getting criticized for it. Hey, man, look, beggars can't be choosers. If you're in a position to where you're needing help from the Angel Tree program, I feel like it kind of makes you a jerk if you open up the markers and go, not Crayola, pff, get out of here. But maybe that's me. Again, at Jason Allen Hammer on Twitter, weigh in. I thought this was fascinating. All right, coming up next, Tony Kennett. He's an investigative reporter for the Daily Signal, one of the absolute best. You've seen him on cable news. He's all over the place. We're going to have a fun conversation about what's happening right now with drug boats. Spoiler, I'm all in on it, but that conversation is next, right here on the Dawn Stensland Show. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand.
It's the Dawn Stensland Show. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Jason Hammer. I'm the fill-in scrub today. Everybody else is off for the holidays, and the management at WPHT said, who's a sucker that we can bring in here that's willing to work on the holidays? I'm your Huckleberry. I'm Jason Hammer. I'm a radio host in Indianapolis. But the guy we're getting ready to chat with here, he's Mr. National. He's Mr. Big Time. You've seen him on cable news all over the place. He's an investigative reporter for the Daily Signal. Tony Kennett joins us. My man, how are you?
Fantastic. When you say, here comes Mr. Big Time, it makes me think of the Muppets Christmas Carol. Here comes Mr. Big Time. Here comes Mr. Flint.
So over the weekend, starting to hear more chatter that some of these Venezuelan drug dealers, these narco boats, being chased once again by the United States. And I'm here for it. I've said from the very beginning, I would love to have like an NFL red zone style channel of nothing but drug boats being blown up. Like if you bring Scott Hansen, the host of the Red Zone, and you spin off a secondary program where he's got the Octobox up there and we're going off the coast of the Pacific. If we're going, you know, near Venezuela and we're watching drug dealers get the hell blown out of them, I'm here for that, Tony. But for some reason, there are Democrats that feel like it's a winning strategy politically to make the drug dealers the victims in this whole thing. Walk me through this.
So I want to take you back to a simpler time on reality TV when everyone was watching shows about fishing, the deadliest catch, that sort of thing. And the American public got a really good idea of what fishing boats looked like. They understood. So then when you see the Miami Vice 18 outboard motors glued together on the back of a boat, getting rocketed sky high and all of the precursor chemicals. I always take 237 gallons of gasoline with me when I go fishing. I know you
sure.
do too. Right, right. But I'm sure as everyone out there knows, especially our fine crew out there in Philly gets it, you just don't care when a whining child comes up to you and says, but think about the poor drug dealers
right.
who were just out trying to make a living, you know, killing tens of thousands of Americans each.
You think about how many young men in this country lose their life to fentanyl.
Right.
And it's a combination of, okay, some are using it intentionally as the drug, but there's a lot of folks that they become a victim because they don't know it's laced in something. Like you go with your buddies, you smoke a J, but you don't know it's laced with that. I mean, bad stuff happens, man, with this fentanyl, but yet you've got Tim Kaine, that weenie that used to be Pantsuit Patty's running mate back in the day. He's making this a situation where they're the victims here. And I'm telling you, if you go into any barbershop in downtown Philly or downtown Indianapolis and say, Is anybody upset that drug dealers from Venezuela who are trying to poison your sons and daughters are being blown to hell? I don't think you're going to get many tears, to say the least.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be getting any kind of tears. And that's the kind of thing that the Democrats don't really understand at this point in time, why there is, again, a high approval rating for this particular strike. There are two major policies in this country which people are very in favor of. According to the polling data, they're very in favor of mass deportation. According to the polling data, they are very in favor of watching these narco boats promoted to submarine. It's a feel-good story for the holidays. You know, you give a cartel member what he's always wanted, a permanent ocean view.
Right.
And I mean, this is just a way to make sure that it's equitable. You know, these young guys just getting into the cartel trade that they've somehow tricked into running a boat. I don't know how there are still boats being run at this point. Like, how are you saying, you know what, I'm going to beat the odds of the entire U.S. Navy throwing things at me? How are they still finding guys to still go out there at this? How bad is that draft? You were talking about the sports referencing here. Can you imagine finding out that you've been picked for the New England Sinkers? Ouch.
Yeah, I feel like when you're interviewing to become a Venezuelan boat driver for the cartel, they have to probably bring up at some point, we have a lot of turnover in this position, right? Isn't that the HR answer? We have a lot of turnover in this position.
So it's funny that you mentioned that. And I covered this actually over on some of my social media, that there are ads that cartel, it's called Cartel Instagram. There are these accounts that are made and they will show all of this footage of what it's like to work for the cartels. And recently they had another video up that said, we are hiring again. I'm not joking. And I picked that up and I said, wait a minute, why are you hiring again? What happened to the last guys? And then, of course, I did what any American would. I played a bunch of boat explosions to Freebird.
Oh, that's so strong. That is so strong. We're having a conversation with Tony Kennett.
That's right.
He is an investigative reporter with the Daily Signal. All right, I'm going to play you a piece of audio here. This is from a recent podcast, and it's somebody that I know has been on your program as well. Scott Jennings.
The man.
He's kind of become like the reason people watch CNN. It's not because liberals are going back to television and they believe in Jake Tapper and they want to see Anderson Cooper take more tequila shots on New Year's Eve. They like watching Scott Jennings, a real Republican, on their panel. Not like what, you know, MSNBC does, where they'll put Kinzinger or Liz Cheney on their panel. He gets up there and spars. So I listen to what this guy has to say, and he feels like Jasmine Crockett, not necessarily AOC, certainly not Gavin, is the face of the Democratic Party now. Take a listen.
Jasmine Crockett's the smartest Democrat in Congress. She's the one who's on TV the most. She's their leader. She is the face of the Democratic Party. It's very embarrassing, but for some reason, Democrats have embraced this communication style as their future. And so I actually think she's going to win that primary. I think she's going to get beat in the general election. But for Republicans, I think we ought to just be honest about it. Jasmine Crockett is the smartest Democrat, the leader of the Democrats, and that is basically the embodiment of their party platform right now.
Do you buy that?
I think that Scott is a master of gaslighting. He is a master class of gaslighting, because he says it respectfully in that kind Kentucky gentleman's way. And he says, look, she's very smart, she's wise, and everyone loves her. None of those three things are remotely true at all. But you can't disagree, because if you're on the left and you disagree, all of a sudden you're a mean, stinky racist who doesn't like Jasmine Crockett. And again, whatever knockoff Tyler Perry accent she's put on this week. So I love it. I love watching Scott Jennings do this, because how do you combat that? You have to say, well, she has some good qualities. Like, you're trying to talk about a girl that's ugly, but you're not willing to say it. Like, she has some good qualities. Her personality's great. I mean, really, her cankles only sort of fit through the door.
Okay, now stop. But you can't deny she gets attention.
She gets cameras
in her face. And in today's political climate, that usually means you can do some fundraising. When you go on CNN and you can call Governor Abbott, Governor Hot Wheels, even though that's completely disgusting.
Correct.
The people that feel like, hey, I feel like that's a good joke. I don't know if they're donating money, but they're sharing her messages on social media, and somebody's giving her money.
I mean, there's that kind of double down attitude in politics that has become very popular in the Trump era as a response, because Trump can say something bad, and because people for so long have, you know, dealt with him being called Hitler, they're like, well, you know what? Actually, what he said was good. Not just that I don't care what Trump said. Actually, what he said was good. The left has gotten that flu about 10 times worse. So they'll hear Jay Jones over in Virginia say, well, actually, I want to kill my opponent and his family. And the Democrats will go, you know what? That's actually sweet. Somebody get Hallmark on this right now.
Tony Kennett, Daily Signal with us. So I want to go back to something we talked about earlier in the hour.
All right.
The most underreported story that I feel like on both sides of the political aisle here, Republicans and Democrats.
This makes me nervous. It's usually either something that's like really, really good or something that's going to terrify me.
I don't think it's either. But Dan Bongino stepping away from the feds. Now, I was singing the praises of Marco Rubio and Tom Holman earlier, but I can also make the case that some of the biggest disappointments have been involved in either the FBI or the Department of Justice here when it comes to the Trump administration. I thought we'd see more headlines about Dan Bongino stepping away. Honestly, it's kind of gone under the radar a little bit, Tony. Why?
So there's a couple of things at play. Number one, Bongino does want to go back to his show. He's an excellent guy. He's an excellent broadcaster. This wasn't him escaping a sinking ship. He chose to do this. Obviously, he's very concerned about the health of some members of his family. That's also very, very important here. But I think the biggest thing is that a lot of Americans just don't blame him. Dan Bongino is seen as a more serious individual when it comes to stepping away from broadcasting, kind of over on the right into the administration, which
talks such a big game, though. Like when he was still doing the show, it was Epstein files. We're going to get in there. We're going to kick you know what. And he got the opportunity, well, at least to be second in command here. And it's been completely underwhelming.
So I have speculated. I'll be one of those people that admits it. I've speculated that he's probably tired of a lot of the nonsense. Bondi has lost a 46% section of approval rating in her time. I mean, just breaking this morning is that there's a victim's name that was left unblurred in the really recent Epstein file release. By the way, two things there. When they said that victims' names needed to be carefully obscured, this is what they were talking about. Thomas Massie wanted it pushed open. He wanted it pushed open. Well, way to go, Tom. You got what you wanted. Now there's a victim's name out there. But this is also Pam Bondi's fault. Bongino doesn't want to be around this mess. He's tired. It was handled like three wind-up monkeys trying to carry a dish at Denny's. And I'm telling you, American people understand. And when we broke this story over on the show, because it happened right before I went on air, because, you know, God hates me. But, I'm not really surprised. It's disappointing. But I'll be honest, the biggest thing that walks against that entire FBI is that Kash Patel always looks like he's just been caught in a bathroom stall in the Senate every time the camera's on him.
Oh, so not a Kash Patel guy.
He's done some good things. His record is fine before he gets in the administration, but I think he's a classic case of a guy who was phenomenal as a quarterback, horrible coach.
Interesting. Okay. One more thing here before I let you go. You brought up the Epstein files. We talked about it earlier. And I want to be careful how I put this out there, because in no way am I victim blaming, victim shaming. That's not what's happening here.
Of course.
But we have a lot of people who are doing these press conferences, who are talking about writing books. They're speaking to all these news channels. These are the quote survivors. These are the quote victims. Am I the bad guy here? Because I don't think it's asking too much for some of these survivors and victims. Give us the names of who was having sex with kids, not who was having dinner, not who was getting autographs from Mick Jagger. If all of these victims, if all of these survivors are willing to do media car washes, as it's dubbed as, I want names of who was doing something horribly bad. Does that make me a horrible person?
It doesn't, and there's a problem with that. And the problem with that is that a lot of these victims, as we've already found based on multiple courts, is that their testimonies are unreliable. They've changed their stories every time a microphone has been put in front of them. And then when you get out there and says, all right, now name these people, they realize if I get out and I name these people, then I'm liable for defamation if this stuff can't be put pen to paper. And that's a major issue for them. But also, I'd say that some of the victims who really do want to be left out of this and don't want to be mentioned, I mean, you know, I've both been in situations where we've had a colleague who's done something really stupid and was just, look, I know we're on the same side, but can you just shut your mouth a little bit? Some of those victims of Epstein feel that way about some of the other victims, I think.
What's coming up at the Daily Signal?
Well, a couple of staffing changes. We've got a lot that's moving right now. The Heritage drama, unfortunately.
Is it like the staffing changes the Venezuelan drug boat cartel is dealing with right now?
Yeah,
did you blow somebody up, Tony?
I keep sending producers to ferry a package and they keep being intercepted by the U.S. Navy. No, we've got some new stuff coming in the new year. We've got some brand new talent that we are starting to move forward with. It's exciting stuff. I'm kind of shocked to find ourselves doing this full time, but hey, man, I love it.
Well, Matt, thank you for letting me use your studio here. This thing is immaculate. Your studio here that I'm broadcasting from, this is yours. This bad boy is awesome. I feel so much pressure not to spill a Miller Lite on your keyboard right now.
Oh, I mean, well, I mean, we have more in the fridge. And I mean keyboards, not Miller Lites. But so, you know.
Tony Kidder, thank you. It's the Don Stensland Show, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, the Don Stensland Show. Don is out. I'm Jason Hammer. Thank you so much for putting up with me today. Coming up a little bit after 11 o'clock, I want to recap the big Turning Point USA event. This was the first big deal they've done since the murder, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and it was something. Got some audio highlights we'll play for you. That's coming up a little bit after 11. But right now, I have to be honest with you. I'm a little bit over Christmas movies constantly being on television. I know. It's the 22nd. We still got a few days to go. But man, I'm kind of worn out by Christmas movies all being on television right now. There reaches a point where you're kind of done. Anybody else feel the same way? Like sometimes movies are just background noise anyway when you're doing stuff around the house. But man, I'm kind of at that point to where I'm over all of the Christmas movies. I do like Christmas Vacation, and I've said all along, if you don't know who your family's Cousin Eddie is, it's you. And I will make this case for Cousin Eddie when Bethany is asked to do the blessing, and bless her heart, the old bag does the Pledge of Allegiance. The only one to stand up and put his hand on his heart was Eddie. He's the only patriot in that Griswold house. And everybody has the debate about Die Hard. We're not going to do that. It's the most played out thing, whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not. But I think what's worth having a conversation is the horrible boss at the Nakatomi Plaza. Who throws a Christmas party on Christmas Eve? Do you know how hard it is to get childcare on Christmas Eve? And this wanker, he's having all of his employees come to Nakatomi Plaza on Christmas Eve. And at one point, the bad guy who's working at the front desk, he says that he lost $50 on the USC Notre Dame game. Bullcrap. USC and Notre Dame would never be playing a football game on December 24th. December 4th, 1926, is the latest all-time meeting between those teams. So I'm not buying that for 1 minute. That's how I knew he was crap. Some people watch A Christmas Story for 24 hours. If you're going to tell me Die Hard is a Christmas movie, which I'm open to that conversation, I'm going to tell you that Christmas Story is an action movie. Christmas Story is an action movie. It checks every box of an action movie. There's language. There's violence. There's animal cruelty. There's guns. There's electric sex glowing in the window. It checks all the same categories as Die Hard would do. So I'm open to the conversation that A Christmas Story is an action movie. But the one that just wears me out is It's a Wonderful Life. Oh my God, this thing just sucks the soul right out of you. Nothing says fun Yuletide celebration like a black and white suicide movie. A whole town full of like ungrateful losers who need to reap what they sow. And even though George is somewhat of a happy-go-lucky Magoo type of dude, his family sucks. George is trying to bail out their incompetence, and it leads him to suicide. Poor George spends the entire film compromising his happiness for a group of morons and ungrateful stiffs. Like, if you think about it, if you really sit back and think about it, George Bailey's life, and it's a wonderful life, is kind of like Kamala Harris's time as the vice president. It's a bleak, thoroughly depressing, tragic story of somebody that's in way over their head and somebody who never made it to Europe.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe.
And when they do that flashback where if George hadn't been born, what would Bedford Falls look like? And it's Pottersville? Is that supposed to make me feel bad? Pottersville looks awesome. It's like Vegas without the ridiculous resort fees. There's strip clubs, there's gambling. I'm in on Pottersville. I'm totally in. So the whole movie just stinks, man. The whole movie just stinks. It's boring. And I'll be happy when regular movies and TV shows are back on the air once again. Top stories coming up next. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand. Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
To Dawn, thank you so much for letting me hang out with you guys today, man. This has been such a good time. I'm Jason Hammer. I'm a radio host in Indianapolis. And Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, the Dawn Stensland Show. I think I'll be with you guys on Wednesday, a little Christmas Eve show. So if you're having a good time today, hope to hear you again on Wednesday interacting with us. If you hate me, that's fine too. Hop in line. The list is long and distinguished. Over the weekend, Turning Point USA, the big Charlie Kirk group, the activist group, wrapped up their America Fest. Now, this was something that was in the works while Charlie was still alive. Kind of an annual thing they do, and it's been growing every year. Some of the biggest names in the conservative movement are at this America Fest. Now, the headline coming out of this past weekend should have been Charlie's widow, Erica Kirk, endorsing officially J.D. Vance for 2028. Not a big surprise, but it's out there now. It's official. One of the biggest conservative groups, TPUSA, has officially said, yeah, we're in it to win it with J.D. Vance for 2028. I know there's been some chatter that Ted Cruz might try to pick up some of those Nikki Haley level anti-Trump, anti-MAGA Republicans and do a primary challenge. But it sounds like a lot of the support is lining up for J.D. Vance already. That should have been the big headline. J.D. Vance's speech should have been a pretty big headline. I thought he had a great speech. If you missed it, here's a little bit of the vice president this past weekend out in Arizona.
It's the rogue district judges who issued nationwide injunctions every time the president lifts a finger. It's the Soros DAs who cheered on as their cities burn. What unites them? They win when our country loses. They get rich when you get poorer. They hire the illegals that they bring in to take your jobs. They drink fine wine in the countries they ship your jobs to. They censor you because they'd rather destroy the Constitution than risk losing an argument. They bring in millions of voters because they know they can't win the argument with the people who are already here. And you know what else unites them? We are going to kick their ass next November and every year after that.
Strong speech. Got the crowd fired up. Okay. All right, J.D. Vance, I see you. Okay. So if you want to tell me Erica Kirk's endorsement or that pretty passionate speech by J.D. Vance should have been the big story coming out of this event, I'd been like, all right. But it feels like the infighting with like the social media influencers hijacked this event. You got Ben Shapiro going up there, and he's flaming Tucker Carlson, and he's flaming Megyn Kelly. You have Tucker that comes up there later and responds. You've got Rob Schneider, and people are ripping on Candace Owens. Now, I admit, I follow this stuff pretty closely. I live in this bubble, this news talk bubble. And many of you guys do too. But I'm wondering, and I always go back to the barbershop analogy. If you were to walk into any barbershop right now in downtown Philadelphia, would anybody give a blue rat's rear end that Ben Shapiro's feuding with Tucker Carlson? Would anybody care that Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly are fighting? Does that move the needle for anybody? Or is this just something we see on social media? Because one of the things I tell my kids all the time, and I say it to my audience in Indianapolis, social media is not real life. You think it is. You might want it to be. But social media is not real life. Just because there's a blue check mark and millions of followers, it's not real life. So I'm wondering if it's really these conservative influencers feuding, is that really the story? Or is it Erica Kirk's endorsement? Is it J.D. Vance's speech? Let me know, at Jason Allen Hammer. That's my Twitter account. And yes, I will always call it Twitter. They'll always be the Washington Redskins, and X will always be Twitter. I'm getting old. I'm 48 years old. Fight me. Don't care. CNN's liberal quack doctor. Have you seen this guy? Jonathan Reiner. Basically, if you haven't heard this, this is so ridiculous. Goes on air with that hack Jake Tapper and said that because of how fast Trump was speaking in that address the other night, I mean, the old man was rolling. Sounded a little bit like the Micro Machines guy, if you're old enough to remember those commercials from the 80s. But because Trump was speaking so quickly, according to CNN's quack doctor Jonathan Reiner, his health is quickly deteriorating and he's seriously concerned. Take a listen.
It was delivered in with a manic cadence, almost a frantic cadence. It was as if you felt like you were listening to a podcast on 2X. And that kind of manic delivery was very, very disturbing. And
oh, shut up.
President, you know, like that. He seemed almost frantic, and it was disturbing to watch. And it was disturbing to see him with in such a almost uncontrolled cadence.
Oh, shut the hell up. Let me say it again for the people in the back. Shut the hell up. Because, and there's a reason why I say that, this is the same doctor who did not say a negative word when Joe Biden was falling up the stairs, was falling down the stairs, was speaking gibberish, was sniffing hair, was looking like he was a corpse on a beach wearing a doctor. This is the same doctor. And here's the clip I'm talking about. Back in 2023 on CNN after the latest fall from Joe Biden.
But people have sort of this mistaken opinion that the president is like an astronaut and we're spinning them around in centrifuges to prove their fitness. But what we really ask for is mental sharpness and the ability to carry out the duties of his office. And I think the president has shown that. And 80-year-old people fall.
Oh, it's fine. 80-year-old people fall. Nothing to see here. It's Frank Drebin in The Naked Gun standing in front of the fireworks store that's exploding behind him. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. You can't hate some of these people on cable news enough. You can't. Because if you're going to tell me that this guy...
So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway.
What? He just gave up. He went full France. and waved a surrender flag on national television in the middle of a sentence right there. Again, this is one of my favorite Biden clips of all time. Listen to this.
So the best way to get something done, if you hold near and dear to you that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Anyway. That's just fancy talk for, screw it. But according to old Dr. Reiner, CNN's resident medical advisor, oh, he's fine. He's 80. 80-year-old people fall. But Donald Trump, trying to keep up with a teleprompter that's going too fast, sweet Jesus, he's got one foot in the grave. So ridiculous. So over the top and re-damn-diculous. Look, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I like to have a beverage from time to time. And the holidays can be stressful, okay? We've got a couple shopping days left. Many of you have family coming into town. Some of you have some traveling to do. Finances get tight. Money gets tight. I get it. The holidays can be stressful. So, if you need a reason to drink tonight, I got you. Happy 54th birthday, 5-4, to Ted Cruz. Lying Ted, as Trump once said, tells the truth with the Bible high, puts it down, and then he lies. One of the great nicknames given in any sort of political cycle took Ted Cruz from like a favorite in that primary, and Trump started picking them off one by one. The Lying Ted nickname stuck with him. Now, I do like Ted Cruz. He's a little Magoo from time to time. Didn't handle the cold weather in Texas really well when he was trying to hop on that plane to Cancun. Not a real strong look by Ted right there. But if we're going to do great moments in Ted Cruz history, I want to go back to when he was running in that primary. 2015, trying to get the 2016 nomination. And this may have been one of the debates that Trump sat out. So Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, they're on the stage. They're sparring. They're going back and forth. And at one point, Marco Rubio calls out Ted Cruz's ability to speak Spanish. Well, those are fighting words to a Texas man like Ted Cruz. Next thing you know, he's popping off his own version of what he calls Spanish.
Marco went on Univision in Spanish and said he would not rescind President Obama's illegal executive amnesty on his first day in office. I have promised to rescind every single illegal executive action, including that one.
Well, first of all, I don't know how he knows what I said on Univision because he doesn't speak Spanish. And second of all,
not the most proud moment for conservative voters. Not the best thing we were looking for out of that debate. A Spanish off between Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. And listen, again, I'm 48 years old. I grew up watching the movie Friday. Now, Friday came out when I was in high school. Ice Cube and Chris Tucker. Now, I'm going to play a clip for you. And if you're around my age, you'll understand this. Ted Cruz speaking Spanish on that debate always reminded me of Smokey speaking Spanish in the movie Friday.
Ahora mismo, díselo ahora. En español, si quieres.
I can't tell who's who. Again, see if you can tell who's Ted Cruz and who is Smokey from Friday.
Ahora mismo, díselo ahora. En español, si quieres.
I don't know. As the gambling community would say, that's a push. Everybody wins. So if you need a reason to drink tonight, if the Eagles fighting and winning on national TV wasn't enough, if it's not enough to have, for many of you, a short work week, Ted Cruz, Lion Ted, who may still be considering trying to primary J.D. Vance in 2028, trying to win over those disgruntled Nikki Haley conservatives. Ted Cruz, 54 years old today. And I'm not just here to crap on Ted Cruz. I'm not, because he does do some good stuff. I mean, he's a smart guy. You don't want to get into a constitution off against Ted Cruz. But if I'm on a debate stage and somebody's calling my wife out and they're saying my dad is the Zodiac killer, how do you not walk over and just punch him in the face? How do you just let that happen? 54th birthday today for Ted Cruz. All right, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to play a little game called Do You Buy It? Chuck Schumer, apparently Johnny Tough Guy, when it comes to dealing with the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. We're going to play a game called Do You Buy It? We're going to need your interactive feedback. That's coming up next. It's the Dawn Stensland Show, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
We are rolling. Rolling on a Monday, baby. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's the Dawn Stensland Show. Dawn off today. I'm Jason Hammer from WIBC in Indianapolis. My honor to hang out, talk a little smack with you guys today. Having a good time. All right. Feel free to follow me on Twitter. I know it's called X, but I'm old. Twitter at Jason Allen Hammer, because we're going to need some feedback here. We're going to play a game called Do You Buy It? Do You Buy It? So apparently, the story is that Chuck Schumer stormed up to the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, and Marco Rubio, ripping them to their face for the way they were treating narco terrorists, which is fancy talk for Venezuelan drug dealers. Now, before we get to any of the layers of this, if we're going to talk about Chuck Schumer, you got to get the Chuck Schumer music, right? Crying Chuck. Chuck Schumer. The same guy that was on that barbecue grill with the frozen cheese. Just such a stupid picture. He claims that he stormed up to Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio and gave them a good old-fashioned finger wagging. The moving finger, because of what happened when they had to go back and finish the job of blowing up a drug boat. Take a listen to Chuck Schumer.
We had a deeply unsatisfying briefing this morning with Secretaries Rubio and Hegseth. It asked more questions than it answered, and it was just, there is almost no transparency in this administration.
Huh.
And that reveals itself more than anything on revealing what happened on September 2nd. This morning I demanded in front of every senator to Hegseth's face that he let every senator see the unedited video of what happened on September 2nd. I've seen it. It turns your stomach.
So, again, the rules of the game. Do you buy it? Tweet at me, at Jason Allen Hammer, that Chuck Schumer waddled his ass up there in front of the Secretary of War, in front of all of his friends and colleagues, just like Scrappy Doo would do in an episode of Scooby-Doo, and gave a good old-fashioned finger-wagging to Pete Hegseth. Do you buy it? Because if you do, I've got some oceanfront property right here in my home city of Indianapolis to sell you. I think there's a little difference in the way that this went down from the way Chuck's telling the story to what really happened. You just heard that soundbite. He made it sound like he was the outlaw Josie Wales walking up there with a cowboy hat on and a six shooter ready for a showdown. The real reality is he said something kind of nearby. It wasn't in the face of Pete Hegseth. And the other thing, and I don't know if you guys caught this, he's ripping on the transparency of the Trump administration. Look, you can rip on Trump all you want. You got a lot of material, right? But transparency, I really don't think, is the hill you want to die on. You might not like his answers, but the old man puts himself out there all the time. If it's not a chopper presser or a press gaggle or something where he allows you to just yell out questions while he's sitting there with a world leader at the White House, from the daily briefings with Caroline Leavitt, the old man is out there. And Chuck Schumer, up until he was told by his DNC overlords to tell Joe Biden, thanks but no thanks, we're moving in a different direction in the election, you covered up for 4 years the mental decline of that buffoon. The falling up the stairs, the falling down the stairs, the constant speaking of gibberish, the folksy racism. You covered it all up. Every bit of it. You and your butt sniffer friends from the DNC, you covered every bit of it up. So you don't get to be upset, Chucky Poo, about transparency. Now, going back to the topic at hand. We talked about this a little bit earlier. This is such a losing strategy for the Democrats. It's a big midterm election coming up. And if history has taught us anything, midterm elections usually are the Empire Strikes Back or Revenge of the Nerds. However you want to look at your analogy there. The side that just had their ass handed to them usually circles the wagon, comes back and wins. The base gets fired up. They're motivated to come back. And there's a very good chance the Democrats are favored to win the House. Truth be told, between you and I, I'm a gambling man. I would bet the Democrats win the House as of right now. But if they're going to die on the Hill and campaign on making these Venezuelan fentanyl dealers the victims here, the same way they did Maryland man, all bets are off. Here is Tim Kaine. Now, if you remember, this weenie used to be Pantsuit Patty, Hillary Clinton's running mate. Here he is talking about the, quote, struggling survivors. Again, Venezuelan fentanyl dealers.
I'd like to share with you my concerns about the second strike that killed struggling survivors clinging to the shipwreck on September 2. But I can't fully explain why this is so outrageous, because most of what I know from a classified setting. Unlike Senator Schumer, I've not seen the video yet.
Struggling survivors. Fentanyl dealers who want to poison and kill Americans. Struggling survivors. You're putting these people in the same category as, like, the people from the movie Alive that had that plane crash. And they're trying to survive, and they have to start eating each other. Those are struggling survivors, not fentanyl dealers from Venezuela bringing narcotics to the United States. Again, the Republicans do a great job of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And for the most part, Democrats, even if their stance is completely asinine and lunatic-like, they're usually lockstep together. But this is wild. This is the hill they're going to die on, and it's this type of crap that could cause them problems in the midterms. And I'm not the only one that notices. Your senator from the great state of Pennsylvania, John Fetterman.
This idea, some things out in the media, it's kind of putting out this that the military is just picking off, you know, any boat that comes across. That's just not true. I mean, there's extensive intelligence, and they know exactly who's on that boat, and they know what's actually on that boat right now. And it's quite frequently they decline to take it and to move on those things. When they move on those kinetic kinds of strikes, you know, they have absolute confidence that who's on it and what's on it, and that's exactly what it's about. They're not just going around randomly just shooting boats and those things. That's just not the fact.
Now, some of you like Senator Fetterman. Some of you don't like Senator Fetterman, and that's okay. We can have that debate. That's why we're here, right? But I think he speaks to a bigger topic here. There's a lot of Democrats who aren't the over-the-top super radicals, right? Last couple of years, there's been a big difference between AOC, Jasmine Crockett, and that type of Democrat compared to the way Fetterman sees things. And I get it, House compared to Senate, I know. But I'm talking about the Democrat Party as a whole here. It feels like there's a pretty big divide. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you've got Senator Fetterman going on and doing these TV interviews, not just on left-leaning outlets, but sometimes jumping over on Fox and Newsmax, speaking to those guys. Because there's a lot of old-school Democrats who feel like the young guns are going to cost them an election or cost them a big race at the very minimum. That's where I see Fetterman at in this whole process. According to a new study, a website is making the case for having exactly two drinks, just two, at your office Christmas party. Just two. They say that it'll make you more relaxed, more sociable, and it won't make you look like sloppy and belligerent drunk guy. So this study that was done says that two drinks is the happy place for your company Christmas party. All right, fine. I'm more of a 6-7 drink kind of guy, but you do you. Which brings us to great moments in drunk history. This is one of my favorite things of all time. This is when a fan ran on the field at an NFL game and started taking his clothes off, was clearly intoxicated, and the great Kevin Harlan had the call.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Oh, that's such a great call of a drunk fan on the field. I'm a Kevin Harlan guy. Love Kevin Harlan. It's the Don Stensland Show. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, on demand. On demand.
The Don Stensland Show. Right here, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Don out today. I'm Jason Hammer. Anybody watch the new Chappelle Netflix special yet? Dave Chappelle comedy special dropped, I think surprisingly, on Netflix. And I haven't watched it. I've had some friends that have watched it. They tell me the first 35 to 40 minutes, pretty funny. Dave Chappelle, funny guy. I think he's hilarious. But the last half gets a little preachy. Starts talking about how Charlie Kirk isn't quite at the level of Martin Luther King and some of these other folks in terms of assassinations. He's making fun of the people that were really upset that Charlie Kirk got shot. And he starts ripping on Bill Maher because Bill Maher has been critical of Dave Chappelle for taking a lot of the Saudi Arabia money. Chappelle was one of the comedians that went over to Saudi Arabia performed a number of shows over there. Saudis have been dumping tons of money into the American entertainment field. I mean, you already have LIV Golf, but they've been partnered with the WWE, the pro wrestling. They got a WrestleMania, I believe, lined up to go overseas to Saudi Arabia. They've been doing business with them for a while. And then a number of these big-time comedians went over there, and Chappelle was one of them. So it seems a little disingenuous for one guy to kind of be preachy in his stand-up show, but be defensive about taking his money from the Saudis. Like, if you want to take your money, I'm not mad. Just own it. Be like, I took the comedy gigs because the Saudis have a crap ton of money. So I feel like it would be disingenuous of me to finger wag at you for doing something. You can't have it both ways, though. It sounds like Chappelle right now. Again, full disclosure, I have not seen the new Netflix special. I've just had friends texting me about it. I've seen some things on social media. You can't have it both ways, Dave. You can't. I mean, you got freedom of speech, but you come off a little disingenuous. You can't be finger waggy and also super defensive when one comes back to you. So I don't know. If you've watched it, let me know. Also, over the weekend, there was a moment at a Providence basketball game where some of the officials and police officers in that wild Brown University story were shown on the Jumbotron, and I think they were announced. And these guys stood up, and they were soaking in a standing ovation at this Providence Friars basketball game. Now, mind you, these are the guys that botched the Brown University manhunt. And it's okay to say that. Doesn't make you a bad person for saying that these guys screwed this thing up. I'm very pro law enforcement. Let me make that perfectly clear. Law enforcement has been a big part of my family for a long time. But it's okay to say when they get things wrong. Had it not been for some homeless guy on Reddit, they might still be looking for the gunman. They might still be looking for the shooter. From a university perspective, from a local political standpoint, and a local police standpoint, the university president, the mayor, and the police chief do not deserve a standing ovation. Hell to the no. The homeless guy deserves the standing ovation, and I hope he got the $50,000 reward. I mean, if that's not the most bizarre story of 2025, I don't know what is. I'm not saying it's the biggest. You know, we're getting to the final couple weeks of the year here, and everybody's going to be doing their year-in-review shows. I would imagine the Charlie Kirk assassination or some of the other things like that are the top story of the year. But this Brown University shooting and the weird layers to this story, the homeless guy that was on Reddit, that was also living at the university, but nobody knew, the MIT professor that was killed that happened to be an old college acquaintance of the gunman. I mean, if this were a movie, you would say, okay, that's a good movie, but it's unrealistic. But this is real life. But I don't know if those guys should be soaking in the standing ovation. Let's shift gears just a little bit and talk a little bit about wheeling, dealing, hair sniffing, kiss stealing Joe Biden.
I got hairy legs. Take a test where you're taking cocaine. Come on, man. You ain't black.
It's been a little while since we've checked in on Joe Biden, but it's official now. And this was kind of rumored late, you know, October, but it's official now. Joe Biden has secured a 10 $1 million book deal for his presidential memoir. $10 million. That's so gross. That is so laughable. There is no way in blue hell that old you-know-what is going to sell enough copies to cover the $10 million that was given up front. But that's how these book deals work. It's glorified money laundering right in your face. Oh, here's 10 million bucks. It's an advance on your book profits. Oh, okay. Profits. Wink, wink. That 10 million bucks is going to get the book on the New York Times bestseller list. There's going to be just warehouses full of copies of this turd that nobody's buying. And in return, somebody's getting a kickback, or that money's going into Joe's bank account. Wouldn't be the first time that the big guy has got a little bit on the side. These book deals, it's money laundering, it's right in your face, and nobody does anything about it. Like, I'm not even sure what is more in our face that we can't do anything about. The insider trading or the money laundering with these horrible books? And what's going to be in this book? Who is going to run out and go, yeah, you know that guy that was asleep all the time? You know that guy that had a lid, called it 11 a.m. all the time? The guy that was falling down the stairs all the time? I can't wait to sit down and read what he's got to say. Well, if you're wondering what's in the book, lucky for you, I pulled some strings. I couldn't quite get the real Joe Biden to come on the program. He's asleep. But I got the next best thing. Here to preview his horrible book, it's AI Joe Biden.
Hey, buttholes. It's me, Joe. Joe Exotic. Anyway, I'm excited for a new book. There are going to be awesome things in it. Pages to color, pictures of naked ladies, and a few blank pages with drool.
Sure.
And it's also scratch and sniff. Some of the pages will smell like children's hair. The rest will smell like my diaper after eating a spicy cup of chili.
Oh.
I forgot to tell you the best part.
Oh.
The best part of my book is, I forgot.
Anyway, okay.
I have some Matlock to watch. AI Biden out.
AI Biden out. I think he may have oversold the book, to be honest with you. There's a story out where people are predicting popular American traditions that will slowly fade away in the coming decades. Okay? So these are popular traditions we do now as a society that for one reason or the other will fade away in the coming decades. And coming in at number one on the list, class reunions. Class reunions. Now, I can see this. Now, I don't know if anybody else is in this position, but I'm a former high school class president. So that means I get stuck putting these class reunions together every year. But the reason that this story says they're going to be fading away, two words, social media. You can see these people on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, on Twitter. You don't need to get together at the 19th hole in your townie bar trying to squeeze into your letter jacket anymore. The only people still doing that are the peaked in high school people that you usually see the night before Thanksgiving anyway. So that came in at number one. Number two, and I don't know if I buy this one, trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treating. Because there are so many freaks that live among us now. Many parents are hesitant to have their kids just walking up to these houses. And the rise of trunk or treat events that churches and fire stations and people like that do. I still think people will go trick or treating, but based on this story out of Connecticut, I understand why.
Police in St. Johnsbury wrapped up their investigation into a smelly Halloween mystery. They tell us a kid didn't get a treat, they got a bag of poop.
Oh! Well, that's not good. That's not what you want in your trick-or-treat bag. Although it's still better than Tootsie Rolls. And another thing that people say may be going away, and this is where I'm a little fired up here. I completely disagree with this. Private firework displays on the 4th of July. Private firework displays. The reason being, a lot of local communities, for the most part, let's be honest, more liberal areas, cracking down on this type of thing. And the rise of big shows in everybody's community, whether it's a park, whether it's a downtown in a city somewhere. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. I like my beer cold, I like my TV loud, and I'm fireworks guy. I am fireworks guy. I love to blow crap up. We do it big at the Hammer House, man, on the 4th of July. And if you take away local and private fireworks shows in the backyard, then you're going to have to be the one that walks up to Wheelchair Terry, the guy from the viral video, the guy that's in the wheelchair, where his buddies have given him the responsibility of lighting off the big, immaculate display. And then his wheelchair breaks, and he can't escape, and all of his friends are laughing at him. You're going to have to be the one that tells these guys they can't have any more fun.
Hey, hold on, hold on. Bag up, Terry.
Back up, Terry. You're going to take that away from us over my cold, dead corpse, you are. I'm telling you, firework displays ain't going anywhere, baby. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
It is the Dawn Stensland Show. It's Dawn's world. We're just living in it. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Jason Hammer, radio host out of Indianapolis. Honored. Honestly, to be asked to fill in for Dawn. So thank you guys so much for having a good time screwing around with us this afternoon. There's a new study out about Christmas songs. And I just heard the little commercial there at the top of the hour talking about Christmas. Singing Christmas songs is actually good for your health. This is a new study. Now, the reason they're saying this is that a bunch of doctors got together and found that singing lowers blood pressure, which can be a little high around the holidays. It expands your lungs, and it stimulates your brain in multiple ways. And doing it in social settings is even better because it helps people bond, even with total strangers. So again, still no cure for cancer. But hot damn, we found out if I sing Jingle Bells at the middle of a Walmart, I might as well be on the elliptical. It's good for my health. So, with that being said, say no more. Let's sing some damn Christmas songs here, shall we? This is what it sounds like when you take away the music and just isolate the vocals of Mariah Carey. This was, I believe, at a show in New York. She's outside, weather conditions, I get it, it's cold, but a sound engineer isolated Mariah's vocals without the music of All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Make my wish come true. You, baby.
Ooh. Oh.
You.
Jeez.
So make my wish come true. Baby, all I want for Christmas is you.
Jeez. Wow. That's a far cry from the Vision of Love days that I grew up with. That's not the Love Takes Time emotions, Mariah. All right, so for the sake of you know, keeping things fair here, let's play some more isolated vocals, okay? Which do you prefer, what you just heard from Mariah or the world famous, and you've probably heard it before, isolated vocals of David Lee Roth from Van Halen and Running with the Devil?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. I live my life like there's no tomorrow, and all I've got I had to steal. Least I don't need to beg or borrow.
Jeez.
Yes, I'm living at a pace that kills.
Big finish, David Lee.
Ooh, yeah.
My God. So choose your fighter. Better isolated vocals, Mariah Carey or David Lee Roth at Jason Allen Hammer on Twitter. One more before we get out of here today. Again, for you people who are very passionate that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, let's mash that with the 12 Days of Christmas. This is for you freaks.
Good evening.
I'm here to see Holly McClain.
Just type it in there.
Cute toy.
Terroristic Nakatomi Plaza.
Been doing this for 11 years.
10 square blocks.
Mayday, mayday. Channel 9.
8 Lincoln 30 to dispatch.
The 7 members of the new Provo Front.
6 armed with automatic weapons.
5 imprisoned leaders of Liberté de Quebec.
$4 million.
3 down, 4 to go.
Code 2 at Nakatomi Plaza.
He's killed one terrorist for sure, and he claims he's capped off 2 others.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mother
Christmas.
There you go. There you go. So, according to that study, singing, especially Christmas songs, lowers the blood pressure, expands the lungs, and a bunch of nonsensical crap that nobody's ever going to fact check. There you go. You're welcome. If you need another reason to drink tonight, there you go. Again, thank you so much to Dawn Stenslin, allowing me to fill in today. Again, I'm going to be on my own radio program in Indianapolis this afternoon, but to come on this station and kick it with you guys, this has been a lot of fun. This has been a whole lot of fun. So thank you to Dawn and all the folks at WPHT that reached out to a hick like myself. It was really cool. This was really cool. Sean back in the studio telling me when we're on, telling me when we're off. Because what I've learned in Philadelphia is that you don't want to be caught on a hot mic. And I'll just let that one stay. So thank you to Sean for making sure we take care of ourselves here. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, Dom Giordano. He's up next. Dom Giordano's program is up next. I'll be back hanging out with you guys on Wednesday, a little Christmas Eve. Pour some eggnog, put some moonshine in that bad boy, and I promise you, we are going to have a good time. Good luck if you play the Powerball tonight. Approaching $2 billion. Good luck if you win, and don't be afraid to give your boy a cut. Top story is next.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.